When we come to this parsha, I tend to always start from a similar Svasemis and then to branch off. And in fact, the Svasemis, year after year, so many of the years in Chayesorah, return to the same Pasuk and the same Rashi and takes it in different directions. So let's go over the Pasuk, the Rashi, the questions the Svasemis brings, and see where we go from there. The Pasuk in the beginning of the parasha states, by you chaye sara, meya shana, esrim shana, v'sheva shanim, shnei chaye sara. The years, the life of Sarah was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. The years of the life of Sarah. So there are a variety of questions on that. Rashi addresses why the 100 and the 20 and the 7 are each divided up with shana. We may return to that later. But what's also asked is, what is that repetition at the end? The Torah does not waste words. It tells us what the subject of the pasuk is going to be. Vayu chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. It tells us how many years it was, 127. And then it goes back and it says, Shnei chaye Sarah, the years of the life of Sarah. So Rashi brings down there from Chazal that the reason for that summary in the end of the pasuk was to equalize all the years. Says, Kulam shavim letova. All the years were equally good. Now this is hard for us to grasp, because years are always different. And we've been reading the story of Sarah Imenu's life, and it's very hard to imagine her saying at the end of her life, when we interview her, how is your life? And she says, good. Yeah, what, year by year though, there must have been some fluctuations. She says, no, all equally good. So if we get on our investigative reporter mode, we'll say, wait a second, didn't you move with Avraham Avinu to the land of Canaan and right away there was famine? Yes. And then you went to Mitzrayim and Paro kidnapped you? Yes. And then you had a same kidnapping, another one with Avimelech? Yes. And you had a big fight with Hagar? Yes. So let's revisit your life again. How was it? Good. But all equally good. How can that be? So the Svasemis explains that this is an expression of a midah, of an attribute, of a way in which a person can interact with the world that's described in the Sefer Chovos HaVavos, and it's called the midah of Hishtavos. Now the midah of Hishtavos is a really cool midah. We're not familiar with it that much in our list of midos, like Ava, Yira, etc. Hishtavos has in its root the word shaveh. Shaveh means equal. The midah of Hishtavos is where a person, number one, realizes that there's a certain equalizer to all situations. In a certain aspect, which we'll explain in a second, all situations are equal. And that my reaction to all situations can also be equal, no matter what the situation is. This would be expressed in a person. The Baal Shem Tov said, they bring it down, the Keser Shem Tov, the Tzavos Arivash, they say that you can see a person that's doing what he wants to do. It doesn't matter if everyone around him is cheering him on or everyone around him is cursing him out and yelling at him, making fun of him. This person remains who they're supposed to be, does what they're supposed to be, no matter what the situation is. In my mind, I kind of view it like a surfer. I've never surfed, but when you at least see the image of surfing, you see the ocean going up and down and twisting and turning, and this person is maintaining his equilibrium on that board. So the life of Sarah, which did have so many ups and downs, and so many twists and so many turns, she said, in reality, there's an equalizer to all those situations. And there's a way to make those situations all equally good if you react in the right way. And that is being the person you're supposed to be and reacting the way you're supposed to react. That makes every situation good. And that's why that idea is expressed in the summary, Shnei Chaye Sarah, means she lived her life. In this situation she was Sarah, in that situation she was Sarah, in the other situation she was Sarah. She remained who she was supposed to be in all these situations. This is not like most of us, the Svasemis. Most of us become different people in reaction to what happens to us, even multiple times during the day. Right? It's something that we see. I get up in the morning, and you know I'm tired, so I'm sad. I go to make coffee and there's no milk, so now I'm sad and angry. Right? Then I get a phone call that the bank had made a mistake last month and I have another 10,000 shekel in my account. Suddenly, I'm both happy, right, and nice and not angry at anybody and couldn't care less about the coffee and the milk, and I'm full of energy. So, like, as the day goes on, I am shifting from one person to another. And sometimes we'll really feel it and express it. We'll say it when we apologize to somebody. We'll say, I'm sorry, the way I interacted with you earlier today, I wasn't myself. That's a scary thing to say, right? That I wasn't myself. It's a very frightening thing if things can make us not ourselves. The idea of kulam shavim letova is to be able to be yourself in all these different situations. We'll say, okay, but still, we're talking about the years of her life, and some were good and some were bad. Let's say what we're talking about here seems to be saying she was good in all the different years. But there were good years and there were bad years. So he explains, no, we're mixing terms that we shouldn't. A hard year is not necessarily a bad year. Good depends on what you do with it. Okay, and this is an important lesson to learn in our approach to Judaism in general. Famous statement from Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, the great posek of the previous generation that lived among a world of immigrants who came to America. Many, many of those immigrants, far more than we imagine even, were Torah observant when they came and tried to bring up their kids in Torah observance. And you have to realize that even in New York at the time, it was a time of virtually no Jewish schools, right? Very little mass-marketed kosher food. All the different things, all the different comforts that we have in the Jewish world now did not exist then. And the kids would come to their parents and say, you know, we can't do this, we can't do this, you're telling them we can't. And the parents made a mistake, he said, by answering them in Yiddish, Sishver Tzizaniyid. Guess what? It's hard to be a Jew. All right? This is our heritage. That's it. And what happened? The kids said, not in America. America's about opportunity, the land of opportunity, the land of enjoying life. You want to suffer? Vakasha, stay in your tenement in the Lower East Side. I'm moving to the suburbs. I'm joining a temple where the rabbi tells us we can have a very good time and doesn't bother us, and we're out of here. He said, instead, it should have been explained to them how beautiful it is to be Jewish. Not to deny the difficulty that they were facing. Difficult. But somehow helping them understand that that difficulty is worth it. Now, what could explain that? How can a person connect that? So there's a very wise comment on a story that I saw in an interesting book. There's a woman who lives in the Old City, Sari Yocheved Rigler. She's a writer, and she's married to one of the early alumni of Chappelle's, in fact. And when she was connecting with her Judaism, and she came to Israel after many years in India, one of her teachers, Rebbetzin Tzipora Heller, a very famous teacher of Torah here in Yerushalayim, took her to visit a very holy woman. And she eventually wrote a biography of this woman called Holy Woman. Who was the holy woman? Her name was Rebbetzin Bracha Kramer. She was a Hungarian Holocaust survivor. She had gone through Auschwitz as a young girl, where her parents were killed. And she was one of those who were experimented on by Dr. Mengele. When she came out, she married another Hungarian Holocaust survivor, and they moved out to an agricultural settlement in the middle of the country near Afula called Kfar Gidon. And there they lived an extremely simple life. For many, many years, they did not have electricity or running water. She was unable to have children herself, and instead they let it be known to parents who had children who were handicapped, physically, mentally, or both, that if they needed a break, if they couldn't handle taking care of those kids, they could drop those kids off with them and they would take care of them. Sometimes they had multiple children of various ages with various handicaps there at the time. So Mrs. Rigler said that as she was interviewing her, she kind of blurted out, she said, you had a very hard life. And Mrs. Kramer said, no. She says, wait, but you said you took care of handicapped children, many of whom had to wear diapers at an older age. You did that without electricity and running water. That's very hard. She said, no. She said, you told me that there was one girl you took care of that you had to spoon feed her all her food 3 times a day for years. She said, yes. She said, that's very hard. She said, no. And when she walked out, she said to Rebbetzin Heller, I don't know who's not, you know, getting it here. I wasn't criticizing her. I was admiring her. I was just stating, maybe I shouldn't have even stated the obvious fact that she had a very hard life. Why is she denying it? So Rebbetzin Heller answered with a clever moshel. She said, imagine that you go to a country club in the summer and you go to the tennis courts and there's a guy out there in his tennis whites and he's playing and he's practicing and he's running and he's sweating and at some point he takes a break, you know, to drink some Gatorade and pour some water over his head, and you've been watching him and you come over, you say, you have a very hard life. It's like, what? Yeah, I've been watching you. You run in the sun chasing that ball, sweating, panting. You have a hard life. He says, I'm a tennis player. I'm going to Wimbledon next month. Right? That's what I do. So how do we look at that conversation? On one hand, the difficulty is indeed true. Right? He has to put a lot of effort in the heat, running, panting, doing those things. But he's saying, but that's me. That's how I express who I am, what I want to be, how I express the potential that I have and bring it into actuality. You don't call that hard. Hard implies, you don't call that bad or hard in that negative thing. It's challenging. But that's my life. That's who I am. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm trying to maximize what I can do in that context. So this is the idea of the years of Sarah. It wasn't that she had bad years and good years. She had years that were hard and she had years that were easier. But by doing what she was supposed to do in those years, that makes them good. And that can make them all equally good, even though what comes out is not necessarily picture perfect, but it's the way it's supposed to be. There's always a choice of doing the right thing or the wrong thing, even in non-ideal situations. The one that comes to my mind always is from a biography I read years ago about a Dutch family that ended up in the concentration camps. And there they had a picture of a tefillah that was written on a piece of paper by one of the brothers during the war. And it was a tefillah to say before eating chametz on Pesach. The nusach of the tefillah was approximately this. It says, Ribbono Shalom, you commanded us not to eat chametz on Pesach. You also commanded us, v'chai bohem v'lo sheyamos bohem. We must live in mitzvahs and not die in them. Hineni muchon umezumen, I am now prepared and ready, lecho chametz v'pesach, to eat chametz on Pesach, l'kai mitzvahs v'chai bohem, to fulfill your mitzvah of v'chai bohem. It's not an ideal situation. You're placed in some place where you cannot live as a Jew in the way that a Jew normally would on Pesach. But in every situation, you can look to Hashem and say, what would you like me to do now? This is a challenging situation, but I can make this good by looking at what you want me to do now and doing it. And that is something which is always there. That's the equalizer in every single situation in life. Neither of the choices may be ones you particularly want, but by making that right choice, so then you can make it there. The Svasemis explains that that's the concept of being tomim. The Medrash that we spoke about started off with a pasuk from Tilim, Yodea Hashem Yemei Tamimim. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows, connects with the days of those who are tomim. Tomim means, says the Svasemis, that he's dabkus b'shora shalamal me'ateva, that you connect to the root that's above the world of nature. Meaning you're here, you're in situations in this world, but you realize that the situations all come from Hashem. They're with Hashem's knowledge, and there's a purpose. And that purpose can be fulfilled by my navigating them correctly. So it's a beautiful idea. It's the Midah of Hishtavos is one that can help a person, when you work on it, remain who you're supposed to be during all sorts of upsets or surprises, or even during the victories in life where you can kind of lose yourself with your heady sense of arrogance or such, and to be and remain who you're supposed to be. The problem is, and I've tried to wrestle with this over the years, and I found some new ways this year I'm going to share with you, that's all great if you always make the right decisions. Right? In other words, this all says you can make everything good, you can have situations that are hard, but if you make the right decision, you made it good. And it seems to imply Sarah Imenu made the right decisions. She remained Sarah for 127 years. She can look back, yeah, challenging, hard, etc. But I was Sarah at every minute of the way. I got 127 years, Shnei Chayei Sarah of being me. But what about those of us who didn't? What about those of us who were in the situations and we messed up? And there were two possibilities and we took the wrong one. And the challenge made us behave in a way that wasn't the way we were supposed to do, true to our authentic self, but otherwise. What can we do about that? So, one just go-to lesson is in terms of doing, before we get to how we view these things. In terms of doing, the only question you have to focus on is, what do I do now? I just heard someone speaking recently about Reb Dov Yofez Zatzal. He was the Mashgiach in the yeshiva in Kfar Hasidim. And this person said that a pasuk that he would go over constantly in his life was the pasuk, Va'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha She'el Mimach. And now Yisrael, you Jew, what is Hashem asking from you? So that's the key pasuk to focus on in your life. Va'ata, now, meaning without looking at what you've done in the past, that may have to be dealt with in its different ways. But you're right now living in the now. That's something that's true at every point in your life. And at this moment of now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has things you need to do. Focus on that. So that certainly means that part of the midah of hishtavus is that a person doesn't get thrown off the surfboard. Right? When you made a mistake, if a person then falls and doesn't know how to get up, then you've lost that midah of hishtavus. The midah of hishtavus is there, right? And many psukim that speak about this. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. Rav Huttner gave his famous perish saying that the tzadik becomes a tzadik by falling seven times and getting up. It's not that because he's a tzadik he's able to fall seven times and get up. That's what makes him a tzadik. That process of falling and getting up. David HaMelech said, ki nafalti kamti. I fell and I got up. So, in terms of what we do, there's an idea, you made a mistake, but don't lose it because of your mistake. Listen to a fascinating story from the Talmud Yerushalmi, and a fascinating perush on it that illustrates this. It tells us the following story. It's talking about people who are, whether they're actually legitimate poor people collecting tzedakah or not. And it says the story of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon and Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish says, Alun Mischei Behedin Dimusin de Tveria. They went to go to bathe in the waters of Tveria. Right, there's the famous hot springs of Tveria to this day. People go bathe in them. Upaga bon chad miskin. There was one poor man approached them. Amalon Zchenbi. He said, help me out. Give me tzedakah. Amrulei, they said, Michazron. Say, okay, we're going to the bathhouse now. When we come back, we're going to take care of you. Michazrun, when they came back, Ashkechune Mes. They found him dead. Amru, so they said, Hoyo v'lo zechinun bei b'chayoi. Okay, we didn't help him out when he was alive. Nitbal bei b'misuse. Let's help him out now that he's dead. So let's prepare him, the Mefarshim say, for burial. He's a Jew, he died, he needs a proper burial. Let's do that. While they were taking care of him, Ashkun Kis Dinra Tolibay. They found that he had a wallet of gold coins hanging around his neck. So first of all, that was in certain ways a comfort, because it means that even though he was appearing to be poor and needing food, and they may have felt that they killed him by not giving him money, he had money. So the Lev Simcha, the Rebbe Zatzal explained it in the following way. He says, the lesson we're supposed to learn from this is the following. What would any of us do in such a situation? This poor person looks hungry, he's asking for help. For whatever reason, you said, no, I do want to help you. Just got to catch the bathhouse before it closes or something. You come out and he's dead. He would be shattered. I killed him. How can I go on and live? How am I going to live with this? So they, without necessarily justifying their actions, said, we may have to do introspection and tshuva on what we did. But that's not Va'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha She'el Mimach. What is Hashem asking us to do now? This person needs us. He needed us when he was alive. We did not help him out then. He needs us when he's dead. Let's take care of him now. That's an aspect of the Midah of Yishtavus. If you did mess up, move on to the next right thing. But still, how does that make your past better? Because the question gets sharper, because even Sara Imenu, okay, this fine sefer from Rabbi Michal Chorsky of Milwaukee, brought to me by Rabbi Kwas, right, is a Talmud of his, and we'll probably share some good Milwaukee Torah with you. He says, how can we say this about Sara Imenu? Because we find that she and all of the Yavos did things that were wrong. He says, for example, right, and again, not all the Mefreshim agree on these, some, but the Ramban says, when Sara, right, caused pain to Hagar, and Hagar ran away, the Ramban says, Chota imenu b'inoize. Our mother, Sarah, did a chet with this pain she caused to Hagar. V'gam Avram, and Avram also sinned, b'an micho lasus kein, when he let Sarah treat Hagar that way. V'shoma Hashem elonya, and Hashem heard the pain of Hagar. V'nosan lo ben, and he gave her a son, Yishmael. She had pera odom, who will be this wild man, La'anos zera Avram, to torture the descendants of Avram and Sarah b'chom minei ha'inui, and all types of torture. So here it's telling us that in Sara Imenu's life, that life of kulan shovim latova, all equally good, she did something, and Avram Avinu let this happen, and it was a mistake. And the results were ones that their descendants have been and are suffering from this very day. The descendants of Ishmael, spiritual descendants call them, were the ones sending the rockets over last week. The Ramban says the roots are in that. So how kulan shavim letova? How can it be? According to what the Ramban is saying, there is, in that one, she wasn't Sarah, as she should have been. And Avram wasn't Avram. And yet, that statement seems to imply that something could be done about it. So here, we have to remember that the past is not immutable. The past is not something that can't be changed. A person who does tshuva me'ava, a person who does tshuva from love, afilus donos, even things that person did intentionally, nasilo kischuyos, they become positives. A person is able to rewrite the past, to change things, in a way that it becomes positive. Now, you're going to ask, wait a second, but if that's true, and if Sara Imenu did tshuva me'ava, and he brings here a fascinating B'nai Yisachar that describes the tshuva me'ava that Sara Imenu did, so why didn't Ishmael become like a major cheerleader for the Jewish people, bringing us like cookies and brownies instead of shooting rockets at us? Right? It seems like the damage was done, and the damage is still there. So it's nice, perhaps, in a spiritual way that Sara Imenu was able to, you know, repair the damage she did in her spiritual world. But something happened, and it's still here. How can we say it's shoving Latova? So I was listening to Rabbi Michal Chorsky's son, Rabbi Zion, who was giving a shir on Chayei Sara, quoting from a whole variety of his ancestors. So I can't keep straight which of the ancestors said this. But you have to pay attention to this idea of litova. Right? It didn't say, right, kulam tovim bofen shaveh. They were all good in the same way. It said they were all good litova. Litova means towards good, leading to good, leading to a good purpose. The famous statement comes to mind of Nochum Ish Gamzu, who would say, Gamzu Litova. Something difficult happened in life, right? But he realizes that this leads towards good. When a person does tshuva me'ava, so it isn't necessarily that, you know, you rewrite the film and characters disappear and all these things happen. But you're able to get everything back on track toward tova. It's a different world. It's a new world. Your actions change the world. The GPS is recalculated. But nonetheless, when a person does tshuva, within the context of that world, even that difficult world which was created goes back on track to the world of tova. Even the existence of Yishmael, which you find in Svarim, that the Malchus of Yishmael and that very pressure they put on Am Yisrael is part of what is going to help Am Yisrael return to themselves and be who they're supposed to be in the end of days. Her tshuva manages to take that difficult situation and make it tamim, as the Svasemis says, to reconnect it to the spiritual source above, to be able to take that and get it back on track, l'tova. Sari Menu's life, 127 years, kulam shavim, l'tova. As she went on in life, her introspection, her understanding, her thought was able to take even the negative events that were there in life and to be able to connect them to the path of tova. That's how Michal Tversky explains, right, the strange Rashi we mentioned in the beginning. Chazal said, why did it say, Mea Shona, Esrim Shona, B'Sheva Shonim? So it says that she was, at age 20, she was like a 7-year-old for beauty. And at 100, she was like a 20-year-old for chet. Okay, so I had to teach that Pasuk and Rashi to high school students when I was teaching in America. And of course, I got all the reactions. Rabbi, 7-year-olds aren't beautiful. 20-year-olds are beautiful. Okay, so what is said there? And other Svarim mentioned that the Noam Elimelech mentioned such a question as well. So he said that in terms of Esrim, 20 is an important age. Chazal say that a person is only chayav onshim from heaven. In other words, from bar mitzvah, a person would be chayav and based in here anything. But onshim from heaven only start from 20. Why? Because at 20 is when a person's understanding is supposed to be mature. So she, at age 20, was able to look back with her understanding and repair anything that would have been there until that time. And then as she grew and matured all the way, that even at 100, each time she was re-clarifying and repairing and reconnecting anything that was done wrong in order to get there. So we see two reactions to when a person does something wrong. Number one is the time to start introspecting, and even the world of tshuva is not right now when something has to be done. When something has to be done, focus here, what Hashem needs you to do now. But also, right, even though you're in that non-ideal situation that you've created, you're able to take it, and through the power of tshuva, to reconnect it to the world of tova, to head it to tova. So let's imagine that surfer as we walk out today. Life is always going to be challenging, right? The Svasemis quotes the Mesilas Yesharim, every situation has its challenges. Poverty, wealth, illness, health, all the different things there are going to be challenging you. Every interaction is challenging you. To try to remain you, but to know also how to get up when you fall and to do the next thing, and also how to be able to go back even to the world of mistakes and to utilize that tremendous gift of tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave and to be able to connect everything up to that path of litova that the world is always traveling on, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for tov. He said, v'hine tov ma'od. Tov ma'od, chesed chazal, tov is the yetzer ha-tov, tov ma'od is the yetzer hara. Right? Those challenges and those difficulties and the fact we're going to fall are part of a pathway that leads to tov. And when we think about it in the right way and frame it in the right way, we connect it all toward that momentum of the world which is heading toward the ultimate tov.